In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Catholic world is most certainly under attack. There are many different attacks that are going on currently, but I think one of the most important ones and the most vital ones is the attack against Catholic manhood. I truly love the story in the New Testament, the Gospel of last Sunday, which is that of the storm at the sea. Whenever I've read it through the years, it's a beautiful parallel of kind of what Catholic manhood needs to be and Christ's own demand of Catholic man and in the way that he approaches it with his apostles. You all know the story. The apostles get in the boats with Christ and then a storm happens. There's great fear amongst the apostles. They wake him up and he says, "Why do you fear, you men of little faith?" And then, of course, he yells, "Be still," and the seas are stilled. The first thing I want to look at when we think about this attack on Catholic manhood is the fear of the apostles. They are fearful, and Christ rebukes them for it, because Christ understands that in this moment, what is endangered is their Catholic manhood. In fact, they are risking effeminacy. St. Thomas will talk about effeminacy, which is that contrary reality to masculinity, to virility. What is effeminacy? St. Thomas will call it the fear of the difficult and an attachment to pleasure, right? So the inability to put aside pleasure in pursuit of something difficult and arduous. That's how he classifies, how he defines effeminacy. So once again, the inability to put aside pleasure in pursuit of that which is difficult and arduous. And we can see this just by that definition, we see how much Catholic manhood is under attack. Because we so easily give up on difficult goals due to difficulties and obstacles that we face. Souls are literally falling into hell because of a lack of endurance, because of this effeminacy which is so rampant in the Catholic world today. Now, the way in which I go about this Catholic masculinity and this attack through effeminacy is going to be mainly through the formation of young men, because obviously that's my world that I deal with for the last, 7 years of my priesthood. And so even though everything that I say will apply to all men, but I'm going to take it more from the point of view of the family and the educators forming young men. How is effeminacy manifested in a man? Well, we can break it down into three different levels. Effeminacy of the body, effeminacy of the mind, and effeminacy of the will. Effeminacy of the body. Sensual, the love of that which is sensual, touch, eating, drinking, impurity, constant stimulation. If anything has been the sinker of souls and the destruction of masculinity in this world, it is this very thing. Yes, we will look at this attack on the will, this effeminacy of the will, which is more profound, and the effeminacy of the mind, which is also more profound, but the effeminacy of the body is what has opened up the gates of the soul so that hell can enter into the vessel of God, which is the young man, which is the Catholic man. We have let the effeminacy of the body infiltrate our communities, our households, and our children. We spoke about this last time. We spoke about the things that we've entered into our own household, that we've allowed our children, the souls dedicated to the salvation of God, and that's it. We have allowed them to be jeopardized because the lack of fortitude and conviction for us to not allow these things to enter into our households. Phones, video games, junk food, fast food, comfort, all of these things are an attack on the masculinity of Catholic men. And it is purposeful. It's not just something accidental. It's not just the way the world evolved. The devil has precisely wanted the evolution of mankind and the technological advances to come to this point where we have so destroyed the ability for a man to do something difficult because of the constant addiction to stimulation. Every single second they are on those phones at a young age. It is one, just an addiction after an addiction after an addiction. And this isn't just some crazy Catholic theory. This is science. You can talk to doctors about this, about how the minds and the wills of children are being crippled because every 12 seconds they want the next stimuli. We are destroying our children one step at a time. Do not fake yourself. Do not lie to yourself that by giving these technological devices to your children, you are not crippling them, because you are. And I do not understand how the Catholic world can sit by and allow these things to enter in. Every single one of these comforts, this is an overload of sensuality that we're giving to our children. It is without question leading to the damnation of Catholic souls. Without question. We sit in those confessionals year after year after year. You can ask the older priests and ask them how much confessions have changed since the internet. How much confessions have changed since the advent of the phone. And how much even more so, and this is one thing that I can attest to, how much confessions have changed with the advent of young men and women being able to have these things at the tip of their fingers. The sins and the thoughts and the ideas and the realities that even I, at a younger generation, were aware to at an older age, the children of today know at 7 years old. It's a tragedy. And Catholic parents will be held accountable for the things of this world that are infiltrating the souls of your children. Catholic parents, God have mercy on your souls for allowing the things of this world to enter into your households. Parents of this world should be accountable for every second of your child's life when they're under your care. Take account. Spend the next week. Take account just how much time your child consumes the world in your own household. Seriously, get a little book, a piece of paper, and take account how many minutes they sit in front of television, how many minutes they sit in front of a phone, how many minutes they sit in front of a video game, how many minutes they spend taking in the world one drop at a time. Because every one of those minutes should be, by a Catholic parent, held accountable for. But how many know that? No. Oh, I don't know. He plays on the weekends. He plays on the weekends? A Catholic parent and his response to how much your child plays video games, and it's, well, he plays on the weekends. You don't know the minutes? These are your children. These are souls given to you by God. And the stimulation of the world and of the devil are infiltrating and consuming them on a level that is unfathomable. Do we even know what these things do to the soul? Every minute that young man spends on YouTube, every minute that man spends on some online, or on some video game, or in front of some movie, every minute of that, slowly but surely, the world makes its way in. Effeminacy of the body, rampant in the world today, rampant, a disease in the Catholic youth of today. Asking, when you give these things to a child, and then you ask them to be pure, you might as well tell them to go to the moon without a rocket. Because that's how difficult it is. Effeminacy of the mind, this inability to seek the truth, an addiction to emotion over truth, a dishonesty in thought. The main way we see this effeminacy of the mind, is in gossiping, distrust rather than critical thinking, and a spirit of criticism, rampant. We act like You know, we are impervious to the world. We act like we're some bastion of virtue against a world that is attacking at every level. Yet once again, we fill our children's lives with the effeminacy of the mind by gossip, which is what? It's not what a man does, which when he hears something, which might be wrong, he doesn't know. He hears something, and the first thing he does is this true? And in order to find if it's true or not, I go to a source. I go to the very heart of the matter, on my own. And then from there, I act upon it. Whether that be something in my own life, because whatever I've taken in or whatever I've heard, I can reflect and say, what can I improve in my own life to fight against this? Or act in order to do something about it. But the effeminate hears the thing, and not in a spirit of action, like a man would do, but in a spirit of divisiveness, backstabbing, spread. Don't act. Just speak it into existence to every person and every corner of the world that you can. Distrust rather than critical thinking. This, once again, infiltrated the Catholic Church. And Americans especially. Our country is built upon a revolution. We distrust lawful authority before even hearing it out. We validate if something is true or not. And once we validated it, then we'll listen. Then we'll follow. That's revolution. That's distrust. And that's from the devil. Yes, but Father, we have been so hurt by the Catholic Church, by the priests, by the Pope, by the bishops, that we have to have a spirit of distrust. Because everything that's happened to us, because of what has happened to the world, because of lawful authorities, and because they haven't been responsible before God in doing what they should have done. Yes, but once again, like I said, there is a distinction between distrust and critical thinking. The man, the Catholic man, trusts a priori. The lawful authority he trusts, but critical thinking, once the thing is taken in, if he sees there is error, then he does something about it. There's a difference between those two. One is, I will validate what you say. The other is, I trust you because God has given me this authority. And everything that you say, I take in until I perceive error. And then I go against. And this is incredibly beautiful spirit, right? Waiting and waiting. Do something, do something. And he waits and he waits. This is my lawful authority, and I will wait. I will trust until there is something to no longer trust. But no, we have sown into our families, into our communities, the spirit of rebellion, which is, I will validate what the authority says. And once I have validated it, then I will follow. It's revolution. And the spirit of criticism, the spirit of complaint. Nothing is ever enough. Always something wrong. Picking apart every little tiny thing, mainly because of our own unhappiness. But sometimes just because we can't stand that something or someone might make a push to be something that we know we're not. Complainers suck the soul out of a room, out of a family, out of a community, out of a church, out of a team, out of a company, out of a country. Criticism. Let loose the criticisms, the complaints. We all know those people. That as soon as they come walking down, we know there's a complaint coming. We know there's a criticism, a judgment. Something to find, to pick out and say, this is wrong, and I found it. It's wrong. Once again, revolution. an effeminacy of the will, which is profoundly, I want what I want, and whatever else is opposed to that, I will justify and rationalize so that I can have what I want. It's at the heart of all of us. And it's scary. Scary. And you can see it in the youth. We can see it in the youth who have lived a life of watching. Leaders, parents, older brothers, older sisters, friends, continuously live a life of, I want this, or I think this, so I will conform a reality to that. Leads to a lack of enthusiasm, and leads to a lack of wanting anything that flirts with the idea of generosity or self-sacrifice. What are we speaking about here? We're talking about cowards. Look at those three things. Effeminacy of the body and the mind and the will. And honestly, right? I honestly look at my own life and see how rampant it has been at times and how attacked I still am by these things. Now, brothers and sisters, look into your own lives, your own families, and see just how rampant they might be in your own. Catholics, Catholic men, we're not forming brave men. We're not forming even men. We're forming critics, cynics, complainers, gossipers, internet video game junkies, pornography addicts, junk food, fast food consumers, shadows of men. Shadows. Monsters. The world is forming monsters. And the Catholic world is at risk right now of forming monsters. And we don't even bat an eye. Effeminacy in our youth and in our men is just as rampant as ever. Monsters. And it's sad to see. So what needs to be done? Our Lord says, he's woken up by the apostles, and he says, why are you afraid, men of little faith? What's he talking about? There's a lot of different things you could say he's speaking about. You could say that he's speaking about, you should have faith in me. You should have faith in God who can control everything. Why be afraid if you're with me? But he's also speaking about their own selves. Do you not understand who you are? Because since you have been with me, I live in you. They have a lack of identity. And so how do we build up this Catholic masculine identity? And I always take, there are three things in this story that I think are just so integral, so essential to the Catholic man. And the first one is facing the storm. Right? Our Lord is asleep on purpose. He doesn't do anything by coincidence. He's asleep on purpose. He wants them to be in this situation. Christ wants them to face the storm. He needs them to come face to face with that which they fear. He needs them to come face to face with that which is difficult, that which is hard, that which is even risking them falling and failing. Because this is where their confidence will be grown. This is what he can do with that difficulty, with that encounter. He can build the confidence that he needs to. Confidence is built through difficulty. Identity is built through difficulty. It's why the military is so expert at building identity, because they put you through the fire of sacrifice, through the fire of obstacle, so that when you come out, you have an identity. I've done something. I've accomplished something. I've faced my fear. I've overcome that fear with the grace of God, and now I'm something more because of it. And this is what we have to do with our own men. We cannot coddle our young men. They need to go through difficult times, and they need to go through difficult things in order to make them tougher. We cannot overprotect them. Yes, we must protect them, of course. Protect them from the world, the things of the world that are dangerous. But we cannot overprotect them. They need to go through things that go crazy, that go off the chart, that go off the tracks. Because that is what will bring them to a higher way of living as a man. Tougher way. More experience. An understanding of obstacle and how it affects the human man. They need conflict. Christ knew they needed conflict. That's why he's going to send them out. Before he's even at the cross, he's going to send them out and say, go. Exercise the demons. Go out. Fight some of the battles now while I'm still here, while you're still under my tutelage, while you're still under my formation. Because you need to see the battles. You need to see the tough times. You need to have difficult things going on in your life. They need to face the storm. Do not coddle your young men. And the second one is, wake the sleeping Christ. Christ is asleep. And he wants to be woken up. Like Christ doesn't just get up on his own. They finally, right? He waits and he waits and he sleeps and he sleeps, waiting for the apostles to wake him up finally. To understand that this is the key. This man right here. This God right here. Christ. And what we have to do in our young men, and what all Catholic men have to do, is wake the sleeping Christ in themselves. And there are a lot of things that we can take in Christ that would embody a Catholic man. But I want to take four things that I truly believe are under attack right now, aggressively under attack right now, by the world. The first one is dominant. Christ was a dominant man. Christ was not a pushover. Christ was, like we said, not effeminate. He was a dominant man. Christ stood before the nation, no matter what the consequences, and spoke the truth. Every single day, he went into a room, and that room was his. Why? Because he had the truth. He walked in the truth. And by having the truth, he understood that there was nothing, nothing that he encountered that could ever overcome him. Christ stood before the high priest and spoke the truth. He knew it would offend. But this was a man who was willing to speak the truth and risk offense. Dominant. Dominant because he needed to defend the truth. Competitive. The world wants to destroy the competitive nature of a man today. No, no, no. We're all winners. Everybody's on the same plane. No. No. Christ was competitive. There's nothing more competitive than his line to the world. Be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. For Christ it was, you must work harder than the enemy. Catholics, you must work harder than the enemy that is trying to tear down your church. Than the enemy that is trying to attack your God. Christ spoke to them as he left the world. Go and teach to all nations and to all people. Not just to your families, not just to your friends, not just to your communities, not just to the people local. Go to every nation. Die if need be, but reach the very corners of this world, because we will outwork every other religion, false prophet, that is out there trying to convert them to evil. That's what the Catholic Church does, following its leader, Christ, with this competitive nature. The Muslims pray 5 times. The Catholics pray 7 times. The Protestants worship once on Wednesday, maybe twice. The church celebrates Mass every single day. Whatever they do out there, the Catholic Church will do better, will do longer, will do stronger than anybody else. Because we fight for a Christ and a God who has commanded to us that every nation and every corner of the world should know his name. That every nation and every corner of the world should know his truth. And nothing should stand in that way. And because of that, I will do everything in my power to be the best I can be. Not for myself, but for my God. Christ, be perfect. That's the leader you want, who comes before you and doesn't sit there and say, you did a good job today. Yeah, it was all right, but it was kind of good. No, be perfect. And don't be satisfied until you reign with me. Don't be satisfied until you die for me. That's our God. Competitive. It sounds like a weird word to apply to Christ, but it's Him. Read His story. Read His life. Christ was aggressive. Aggressive. Only one man stood up in front of a temple with thousands, confronted the moneylenders with a stick, and drove out hundreds from the temple. Hundreds. One man. Imagine right now if one man out of you got up and just started, pulled out a stick and just started kicking everybody out of the church. Well, he'd be attacked immediately. Not Christ. Not Christ. Not one man would even approach Christ. He saw error and he went for it. He saw error and he condemned it. I don't care if there's 1,000 here. I don't care, my Father, if they might try to crucify me today. I will cast them out of your house because they blaspheme you, my Father. He berated and condemned the high priest in the temple. In the temple. He had the audacity, the holy and beautiful audacity, to go into the very temple and condemn the high priest while the whole world, the Jewish world, watched. And word would spread far and wide to all the synagogues in the Jewish world that one man came into the temple and condemned the high priest. And that man was Jesus of Nazareth. Crusades, inquisitions, wars, and pilgrimages have been fought in order to confront error on the part of the Catholic Church. And the world desperately wants Catholic men to lose all aggressiveness. Worship all you want. Love this Mother Mary all you want. That's fine. Pray to Jesus, these saints, these statues, all that stuff. That's wonderful. But never fight. Never fight us. We'll let you go to Mass on Sunday, but never fight us. That's what the devil did, Vatican II. He took out the fight from the Catholic Church. And slowly but surely, every Catholic man on this earth is slowly being drained of the fight. Aggressive was our Christ. And then disciplined. The last one, discipline, never wavering. The temptation in the desert, he starts out with discipline. I will fast 40 days. I will put myself in complete order with my Father. I will be completely self-restrained because I have deeds to do. I have fights and wars to win. And so I go into the desert and I restrain myself. No more discipline than Christ. So how can we apply these four characteristics of Christ? Yes, I know it's going long. I apologize, but not really, because it's important. I truly believe it. How can we apply these four things? How can we give these, instill these things? What can we do to give Catholic men, our youth today, to have these characteristics of our Christ? To be dominant. He needs to be dominant. The Catholic man needs to be dominant in order to defend the truth. Build up his confidence. How? Through difficulty. Have confidence in him. Truly believe in him. How? Not by telling him you believe in him, but by giving him high expectations. Douglas Hyde, who was a communist leader, a prominent communist leader, converted to the Catholic Church. And he wrote a book. The whole premise of the book is, what can we learn from the communists that the Catholic Church should be doing on their own in order to reconquer the world for Christ? And he said, we have to hold the Catholics to higher expectations. We demand nothing of our Catholics. And it's an insult to the Catholic soul. It's an insult to the Catholic man. The more you demand, that means the more you believe that they can reach. Demand more of your son. Demand the highest from your son. Don't coddle him. Don't let him get by with just the mere bare minimum. No, expect great things from him. Hold him accountable for those things. Because that's what will build up confidence in a soul. A Catholic man must come into a room and know that he is in that room and he is the strongest one in that room. Not because of himself, but because the fire that's been taken hold of within him. Because Christ is behind him. Dominant man. A man who's not afraid. He does not budge because you approach him. He doesn't budge because you encounter him. He doesn't budge because you attack him. He's a dominant man. Because he's a man who has the truth. Take away the comforts and the ease from your home. It's winter time. Turn the heat down a little bit. Show them that they can do more things than what they believe can be done. Show them that they can overcome more obstacles than the world tells them that they can. By turning the heat all the way up, what do? We say that I can't survive with something colder than that. I need to have it at that temperature. Turn it down. All the comforts we have in a household are there because we're saying that something less than that, we won't be as effective. That's why a comfort exists. Get rid of these things. There is a legitimate question in the Catholic heart, which is, is a Catholic meant to have all of these things? Just because it's sold, just because it's in the world, just because it's consumed, doesn't mean that we have to have them. At some point, we have to know that we can be without these things. It's what detachment is. Let them understand the strength that they have within. Not from themselves, but because they were bought with a great price by a God who is infinite and eternal. Make them competitive. Make sure that they work harder than the enemy and seek excellence. By how? How do we do that? Challenging him. Don't praise him unless he's worthy to be praised. The world tells us to praise and praise and praise. Why? Oh, because if we don't, it'll handicap our child. Because it'll stunt him. Because it'll give him some sort of complex. This is purposeful. So don't you see? They want to cripple men. They want them to think that they're fine, that they've reached a standard of excellence, but they haven't. They haven't even gone anywhere close. They haven't even entered into the threshold of excellence. And we're already saying we're fine. No, do not praise them unless they deserve praise. And always move the goalposts further. Keep moving them, keep moving them. They reach a goal, push them further, push them further. Set your household up as a challenge. What will we do this Lent? What will we do this week to sacrifice for souls who need conversion? What will we do this week for the conversion of our country? What will we do this week for the conversion of our state representative? It doesn't matter who it is. Give them that competitive, that nature of wanting to keep pushing and pushing and pushing, not for themselves, but for a God. But for a God. Drive them to be the best that they are capable of being. Because we need the best in this world. We need the best builders, the best plumbers, the best electricians, the best doctors, the best lawyers, the best everything. Why? Because we need to be able to go into our careers, into our industries. And we need the men of this world to listen to us. And they will only listen to us if they take us seriously. And that's why we need to be the best. Because when the best pilot comes into a room, or the best doctor, or the best mechanic, or the best whatever it is your career is, comes into a room, they pay attention. And then you speak the words of Christ. And it means something. As opposed to just some Joe Schmo comes in and maybe says a few words. I don't take that seriously. What is that? Be the best. Not for ourselves, but for Christ. Drive them, drive them, drive them. Not out of pride, but because Christ's heart to conquer depends upon it. Aggressive. Teach them to war. Teach them to fight. Whether it be in hard labor. Give them hard labor to do. Deep down, a man wants it. He yearns for it. Put them into the sports, into good fighting. Yes, a man should fight. Good fighting, not just brawling, and good fighting. In braving the elements. In confronting error. Most importantly, teach your children, your young men, to confront error, both outside and within, most especially within. That's where it starts. They have to see that you're attacking error at every cost. They have to see that your mind is obsessed with taking out every error from your household. They've got to see it. You can't just say it. They got to see you attack subscriptions and Netflix and all of these things that bring in the world. They must see you aggressively going after the error. They have to, because they have to know that this is what I'm here to do, to war. A Catholic father should wake up his child every morning and he should put them to bed every night. Maybe he gets home late. Who cares? Wake the kid up and tell him, tomorrow, son, we fight. And what are we going to fight tomorrow? What are the weaknesses that you're going to fight against? Not just for yourself, but for Christ. What are those things, my son? Wake them up in the morning before you go off to work. Yeah, it might be too early, but that's fine. Wake them up for a second. Don't forget to fight today, my son, for Christ. They need to know from the earliest of ages that we fight for a king. That all we do is fight. That's why we exist. That's why we're here. Teach them. Show them to fight. Build it into the very fiber of who they are. Fathers, it's one thing that a priest is jealous of. To be able to see it, to have a son there, and to put within them the spirit of fighting Christ. What greater honor! What greater privilege! Beautiful thing. Teach them to war. To wake up every day hungry. To smell it in the air. That's a Catholic. Where, my son, is the battlegrounds for our Christ? Because we will be there. And discipline. Give them discipline. Schedule. Every family should have a schedule. They should have their own schedules. Oh, my family, it's just too chaotic, Father. No. Even the greatest of chaos can be put into a schedule. We just say that as an excuse not to have one. They need it. They need to see that everything has its right place. Order. Make them responsible for things around the house. Really responsible. Organize things. Have them organize activities and events. And hold them accountable for every single bit of it. That's what a man is. He's accountable. Disciplined, ordered, structured, and scheduled. If this is what it is, then I follow it. And lastly, the apostles are on the boat. Yes, they're weak, but they're on the boat. We see in the beginning of this gospel, or the beginning of the passage, that it says the apostles left the land. Our Lord says, let's go out and cross the sea. Go to the other side. And the apostles get in the boat. And that's what we need. Yeah, we're weak, but get inside the boat. Right? These men, they were on the land, but then they saw, get in the boat and cast out into the deep. And that's what we have to do. Right? Who is willing to follow Christ into the boat? Catholic men must separate themselves from the world and cast themselves into the deep. We are fighting a war, my brothers and sisters. We are fighting a war. And it is a war at every level. It is at the level of your family. It is at the level of your young men and your young woman. It is at the level of technology. It is at the level of the church. It is at the level of state, town, and city, and world politics. And we must fight on every single level. And we must not surrender on any single level. Too often, traditional Catholics, too often, we think that because we have the faith, we just hunker in, bunker down, and let the world go to rot. But that is not what we were told to do. Go and teach to all nations. We need Catholic men in every sphere. We need Catholic men in every level of politics. We need Catholic men on the streets. Catholic men, going to your work tomorrow, how many of you, who of you, are going to make known to all those around you that you are Catholic and you have values, and that nothing will contradict those? How many of you will go and gather around the workers that you work with on a daily basis and tell them tomorrow, I do not want you ever to blaspheme my God. Never. And if you do it, you will have a problem with me. How many of us will go out and make the truth of Christ known immediately to the people around us? Not just, you know, put up a rosary maybe somewhere behind my computer desktop. No. Make it known to the world. Make it known to your department. Make it known to your business. Make it known to your team, your collaborators, whoever it is. Every single value that you hold true. Because that's what the world needs. That's what Christ is asking of us to do. Who is going to fight for me? Who is casting out into the deep, and who will make it known? Because we sit there and we say, oh, we can't confront because we have to be kind, because only by kindness will they convert. They're not converting. They're not converting. That argument doesn't work because the world is not converting. Because everybody is fine now. Nobody is at fault. Everybody's going to heaven. Nobody's going to hell. So unless Catholic men wake up and stand in front of the world and on the corners of streets and on college campuses and tell them that there is error out there and that they stand for truth, the world will never know. They'll never know. They'll go their whole life. And they won't just wake up one day and say, oh, man, those Catholics are so nice and kind. I think I'll become one. No, they'll only know when you are willing to sacrifice everything. You're willing to be blacklisted at your job. You're willing to be blacklisted for your career because of Christ and the truth that he stands for, and willing to go against the error that is out there. And young men in this parish who are at college, and young women, what will you do for Christ tomorrow on those campuses? Why do we not have a group of young Catholic men and women standing somewhere on campus saying, we're holding a meeting here for Catholics, anyone who wants to come on Wednesday night, and we are going to tell you what it is to be Catholic? Why are we not making known the truths of the Catholic Church known to the college campuses of the world? Why? Why? There's no excuse. Because what? Because you're ashamed? The Church needs saints. And it needs warriors for Christ. And it needs men willing to do whatever it takes. Because error is out there and it's winning. And we cannot stand error. For error, there is no quarter, there is no mercy, and there is no peace. Peace is the tranquility of order, not some nice quiet time. And the only way to reach that is if we go to fight. My dear brothers, we have a world to win. You are meant to fight, not to sit there pleasuring yourself in some dark corner of the world. So start fighting. And teach your young men to fight. Because that's what we're born to do. Shackleton, one of the great men, hero, before he went on his adventure, put out an advertisement. Men wanted for hazardous journey. Small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful. We have a world to win, and that has to be us. Willing to do whatever it takes. Willing to take over every office in this nation so that Christ's name is on the lips of every single man, woman, and child in this world. That is our goal. And we will die with that goal in our mind and with that goal in our hearts. And better to be crucified than to ever compromise or to ever wake up any single day and be ashamed to not fight for this, our Christ. My brothers, we have a world to win. Let's win it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.